Welcome to Coastline Church, seeking renewed faith in Humboldt County by being settled and secure in God's love. To learn more, visit coastline4square.com.
Look at my journal that I sometimes write in now since January 1. And it was on 2/1/2024 that the Lord started talking to me about the word prepare, preparing. And it stayed with me and stayed with me and stayed with me. And so I was telling Pastor Linda and Pastor Steve in the prayer room, I was saying that I just feel like that every time I look around, I'm getting a verse here or a verse there, and it's all out of 1 Peter. So, well, no one's ever obligated to, you know, follow along like a series. That's what I'm going to be doing for a little while. And so I'll be in 1 Peter 1. I'm just going to do 9 verses today. And it won't be the customary kind of like dive into the Greek and not a lot of history or anything, because I just feel in my heart as far as an encouragement or exhortation to all of us from the Lord that He wants us to be prepared. And one way that we can be prepared is in our soul, which we know that to be our mind and our will and our emotions. And sometimes I feel like that we have to literally slow down. We have to learn how to breathe. You know, breathing exercises are not bad in themselves. They are good. And then we have to also be ready to maybe sit for a little while with something. And that's what I was doing with the word prepare, because I thought, well, maybe it's just for me, you know. But how it usually works for me, and often with people that I've asked, are you wired this way? You know, that if I get a word or if I get a sense, usually very soon thereafter, people all around me are getting that same sense. And so I kind of believe, I do believe that all of us are leaders and that all of us have someone that's following us or looking to us for either guidance or to see that witness of the Lord, whether or not they know it. So I think we're all leaders in that sense and regard. So I did something really wild and risky and not being in full control. I was telling Pastor Linda and Pastor Steve that I didn't even read all of 1 Peter to find out what the whole thing was about. And let alone 2 Peter, you know. So I have no clue what's in there except for the verses that I'll be covering today, which are mainly going to be 1-9. And most people, there's not any big debate whether Peter wrote this or not. They're pretty much, it's pretty solid anyway, that Peter wrote it, at least from what I've looked at. Pastor Steve might have some different input if he does any of this. And that's great too. But, you know, I like Peter. I like Peter because he was always putting his foot in his mouth and he was always daring to try something. I'm not that one that wants to be, oh, let's try something new. Oh, yeah, you first. I'll be right behind you, about 20 feet behind you, you know. But I like Peter. And while we were worshiping, I was thinking that, you know, Peter, it's funny that he would be talking about preparation, because I don't see Peter as that guy who really planned a lot. I mean, he was a fisherman, and I'm well acquainted with fishermen, was for like many, 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 many years, very closely related. And so there's a lot of preparation that goes into fishing. I mean, you just don't go out there and have a good old time and come back with cuts and bruises and nets that needs to be mended and all the, during the process, you're tossing fish that you can't have or don't have, or rocks or trash or whatever is on the bottom of the sea there and such. So I never really think of Peter much as a person that was prepared. But while we were worshiping, I was thinking, you know, Peter was prepared, and maybe he's prepared a lot like I am. I didn't end up graduating with a BA, and so obviously didn't go on to get a master's or anything like that. But Peter, I believe, was prepared through the School of Hard Knocks. And that tends to be more how I learn a lot and how I get prepared. If I go through this thing, then the next thing that I go through, I'm much better prepared because I have history with it. And history with the Lord helping me to come through. So anyway, I thought that I would read some verses and have a different translation than is normal. This is the Passion Translation. Yes, I know it's hotly debated that it's really not scriptural and they want to toss it out. And some major places on the internet have tossed it out. But they did the same thing with the Amplified Bible back when it first came out. And if this is a tool of Satan, I just have to go on record as saying it was an epic fail. Because when I read the Passion Translation, it's like I'm falling in love with Jesus all over again. And all I want to do is just keep reading the Bible, because it's like when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit and started moving in spiritual gifts, it was like being born again. And so as far as this translation, it's just touching my heart and my mind and my will and my emotions. So I want to share it with you today a little bit and go from there. So starting with verse 1. From Peter, an apostle of Jesus, the anointed one, to the chosen ones who have been scattered like seed into the nations, living as refugees in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and throughout the Roman provinces of Asia and Bithynia. You are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. You are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. When I was reading these words, it was just flipping through the file cabinet of my mind of several people, some that are not here today, and how in the trials and places in their life and what stage of life even that they're in and stuff, that sometimes they've felt within their mind, their will or their emotions, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten me? You even know, like, I'm here, you know. And when I read this, you are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. It just like settled something within my heart, and I pray that it's settling something in your heart as well. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ, who has been gloriously sprinkled with his blood. May God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many, many times over. So I'd like to pray this scripture. This is one method of prayer, and one method of praying the scriptures. There's a lot of different ways. Lord, I just thank you that we are not forgotten. We are not forgotten. And also, we have been chosen and we have been destined by you. Holy Spirit, thank you that you set us apart to be your holy ones, to be your obedient followers. Thank you, Jesus. We are gloriously sprinkled with your blood. Lord, may your delightful grace and your peace cascade over us many, many times. Cascade over us like the waves, Lord, in our waters that we see. Cascade over us, cascade over our mind, cascade over our will, cascade over our emotions, God. Verse 3, celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Father God, we celebrate you. And Lord Jesus, we celebrate you. You have shown us extravagant mercy. Thank you for your fountain of mercy that gives us new life. We are reborn. We are reborn to experience a living hope. We pray and ask for a fresh realization of your hope today. Your hope in our minds, quiet them. May your hope in our wills cause them to sit. And in our emotions, cause us to stand. We've done all. Verse 4, we are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, and never diminish. It is promised and preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you. There is also a kind of prayer called declaring prayer, and I would like to do that. It seems to fit perfect in this one. Lord, we decree that we are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish. We decree that you have said it can never be defiled, never be diminished. Your promises are sure, and your promises are preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you, by you, for us, Lord. Thank you, God. Verse 5, through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. Then the next slide is in King James. I liked how it said it here. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And that term kept is a Greek word. It's a military term. This is the only word I'll be defining today, like my normal. And it's like a sentry standing guard as protection against the enemy. We are in a spiritual combat, but God's power and peace are our sentinels and protectors. So it's just, I see it like that scripture in my mind anyway, that we have a garrison around our heart. It's like a sentry. We have soldiers around our heart. We want to guard what's in our hearts, because out of it come the issues of life. Out of it flows everything. And so we want to remain in that. And by stepping back, figuratively and maybe physically breathing and taking a moment to allow the Lord to minister deep within the recesses of our heart, we can be kept by those sentinels that are there. Just like that, the power of God will look like sentinels surrounding us. Oh, Lord, that just so touches me. Thank you. Thank you. We're not alone. We do have promises that will be fulfilled. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Verse 6, may the thought of this cause you to jump for joy, even though lately you've had to put up with the grief of many trials. And I know there's so many of us. I think we're all walking through many trials, and maybe some grief attached to those many trials. But verse 7 says, but these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes. For even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. Lord, thank you that you give us a picture of what is happening when we're going through these many trials and even grief, Lord, that it's bringing us an understanding and a knowing that at the very core of our being, that sterling core is being strengthened. And that's more valuable than the gold that perishes. Even gold that's refined by the fire. Lord, thank you that our authentic faith results in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Thank you, Lord, that you are revealing Jesus to us in every moment, every day, in every step that we take. You are revealing yourself. You want to reveal yourself. Thank you. Thank you that this is a two-way street, that this isn't just a, here's the book, now follow it. Thank you that you are a personal God. Thank you. As well as a corporate God and a God of the nations and a God of the spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Verse 8, you love him passionately, although you have not seen him. But through believing in him, you are saturated with an ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime, and immersed in glory. Oh, Lord. Lord, we pray that we would have an increased ability to love you passionately, even though we don't physically see you, but through believing in you, Lord, that we would be saturated with your ecstatic joy, immersed in your glory. Lord, you said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. May this strength be real in us, even down to our bones, Lord, down to our toenails, Lord. May it be real. May it be real to us, Lord. For you are reaping the harvest of your faith, the full salvation promised you, your very soul's victory. I liked verse 9, you are reaping the harvest of your faith, because I was thinking that probably during this time, they were probably still mostly, I believe, an agricultural people. So for harvest, what do you have to do for harvest? You can't just like go to bed and say, oh, God will take care of it. You know, they had to do their part. They had to prepare, plow the soil. That was part of the preparation, and to acquire good seed, plant good seed, then nourish that seed with water and all. And so when the Lord's saying through Peter, for you are reaping the harvest of your faith, I was seeing it as us like preparing the ground, the ground of our heart, preparing it and preparing it and preparing it. And within the last year, I went through a 3 or 4 weeks that I just felt like my heart was so hardened. And because of some just traumatic things that happened. But the Lord, he's always faithful. He always comes through. So, of course, I'm on the other end of it. But in that, I want to say that if you find yourself in a hard place right now, if you find yourself in a place that you feel like, well, if I was going to measure this heart, it'd be like a heart of stone, that honestly, just keep coming to him and keep being honest, having an honest and authentic conversation with him. And he will speak in the inside, when you're deep on your insides or through the word of God, he will speak. And before you know it, you will find that you're back to being that normal, regular person who can feel deeply, love deeply, express deeply. And that's truly a reward out of preparing. And I knew this would be shorter, and I kind of thought, like, maybe I should give him a quick little thematic thing, prepare everything in the room, you know? And then I just felt like the Lord was saying, no, don't. No. But I did feel like he was allowing me to share some scriptures out of Proverbs. So maybe one of these will latch on to you. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer, until it reaches its full strength of glory and the perfect day to be prepared. Sorry, I forgot to tell you, it's amplified if you didn't catch it. Proverbs 8:27. When he, God, prepared the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. When he drew a circle upon the face of the deep and stretched out the firmament over it. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance and victory are of the Lord. Last but not least, Proverbs 24:27. Put first things first. Prepare your work outside and get it ready for yourself in the field. And afterward, build your house and establish a home. So that was on my heart. I'm wondering, I heard that the guys have actually already past this, and they were in First Peter, which I had no knowledge of. So maybe we might have some other people sharing that, which would be great. But while you've been reading these scripture, has the Holy Spirit been like bringing to your either your remembrance or bringing to light something that you would like to share? You don't have to, but if you would, I'd like to have us all be able to hear it and to speak nice and loud so those of us who are hard of hearing can hear.
I'm always amazed how in the Word, you know, they suffered the same problems we did. And the answer always is in the Word. And there, what you were reading, it says, I don't have the Passion Translation, I have NIV. It says, in this you greatly suffer, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. We will have trials. It's hard to rejoice, but there's always a purpose. And so it says, and our first response is, why? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening right now? Why is this so big and so confounding and everything? Here's the answer. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And I think he's developing in us Christ, our living hope, our Savior. So we are to be that image of Christ. And, you know, and I'm always amazed how it's back to the Word. You know, and I love the fact that Peter is directing us back to the Word.
I love Peter.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
I so relate to him.
I was getting where we, when we go before Christ on that glorious day, there'll be a fire going right at us. And it will burn away anything and everything that does not belong. And there is such a glorious, it's like I'm seeing it, but I can't quite describe it. It's going to be extremely glorious. What will be revealed after the fire is gone. And each one of us, it's just going to be such a glorious day. And to look forward to that day when we take our last breath here and walk in his presence. It just amazes me as the Lord is showing me what's happening. And what we can look forward to at that moment.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Lorraine? I think there's a reminder, too, to stay in the Word. It can get so easy with the day-to-day to get caught up in things and doing. And the doing is easier with the being.
That's good.
Just that reminder.
The doing is a lot easier. Anybody else?
So this is actually from a different teacher, but we were with a bunch of students who had lots of trauma, and the word was triggers. You know, I always use the word triggers. And that's preparing your mind for action. Because what she was doing is they were about to go home for break, and some of their triggers are family. And she said, it's not against God to have a plan in your mind. So you know these triggers may happen, so you can prepare your mind for action by knowing when my emotions get triggered, what is my response going to be? And I was just thinking, like when Fran was saying earlier about you turn to God, like Jesus even told Peter, you're going to get triggered. You're going to deny me. I've prayed that your faith not fail, and when you turn, strengthen your brothers. He's saying, here's the plan. Your faith won't fail because you'll turn back to me. And then when you're all depressed, here's a tip. Go strengthen somebody else. I have shared before that I once read a book called Spiritual Depression a friend had given me. And in the middle of it, I was like, I was done with it because it was a really thick book. And it was like, this is way too complicated. And then right after I put it down, about four people brought up this thing of, I've learned when I'm in a funk, if I can go encourage somebody else, it kind of gets me out of the funk. It's like you have to prepare that in your mind. And I know there's a lot of sharing, but in the gym just yesterday, this kind of happened because this guy I'd never known before started talking to me. And also he started telling me about all the ways I need to lift different. He was telling me all these things I need to do. And I was saying, well, I was taught this way. I'm doing it from the kinesiology expert at Humboldt. And he says, yeah, but I'm an engineer. And I know. And it's like, what you're hearing me. This is like. No, this guy, he says, well, some young kid, well, no, actually, he's been there like 30 years, and it's his whole field. And it was funny, because right there, it turned me and thought, because I was also frustrated, because the weight machine I wanted to get to was open, and I was also, I had a place to be. And I went, oh, God, okay, this is one of those times when the stranger's talking to me, and I'm ready to be done with the conversation, because I got places to be, and I'm just going to enjoy your presence, and then just listen. And then we engaged a little more in conversation. I'm not saying it was obviously fruitful, but I just felt my whole body relax. And it's like, oh no, this is one of those times when I can enjoy your presence, even though it's off script. Cause like you, it's like, sometimes it's like, no, I know I'll be exactly in this gym this long before I have to go to a meeting. And it's like, oh no, God, this is that interruption that my mind's supposed to be prepared for.
That's so excellent. Did you put your hand up again? Okay, I didn't know if you had another thought. Anybody else before I had forgotten because I didn't copy my PowerPoint like I normally do, that I had put the definition of prepare. I thought it was going to be something like really cool in the Latin, but it was just pretty basic. Make something, depending on what dictionary. Was make something, or in another dictionary, it said make someone ready beforehand for some purpose, use, or consideration. And then one translation, sorry, I don't know which translation it was, but it said that first Peter 1:13 was preparing your mind for action, or preparing your mind to be sober-minded, you know, to be able to be clear thinking, and not, you know, glugging down the wine and losing perspective. So, to be prepared, that there is a time to be sober and there is a time to enjoy the fruit of the vine. Okay, so segue two. I have prepared to do communion today. There was no spiritual reason for not doing last week except for I forgot, and then when I remembered, it was like 3 minutes before. So, Jerry, if you wouldn't mind, would you come up and just like play in the background it as well? I just love that song. And can we just come together and get our communion elements and get ready to take communion together? So Matthew 26, 26 through 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take it, eat. This is my body." Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. Thank you for being the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world of which we are a part. Thank you for it. We appreciate you. We love you. And we take this symbol in remembrance of your body. Take it. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Father God, we just thank you that you prepared the perfect plan. Thank you, Jesus. You prepared and carried out the plan. Thank you that your blood, according to Hebrews, says, speaks a better word. Thank you. Thank you for shedding your blood for us. Even when we didn't want to have anything to do with you and couldn't have cared less what you did. Thank you. Thank you that you poured out your blood, the very wine of heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to our mind. Thank you for ministering to our will. Thank you for ministering to our emotions this day. And we thank you, Jesus. Take a drink.
Thank you for joining us today at Coastline Church. To find out more information, please visit coastline4square.com.